Hello, and welcome to another episode of the World Athletics Podcast. So this is your chance to relive some of the best moments from the World Athletics Championships here in Oregon.
What a superb night at the stadium. It was one the Canadians will never forget. André de Grasse, the 200-meter Olympic champion, withstanding the advance of Marvin Bracy, their North American neighbors, denying the Americans the gold. There was a long hold. And now an explosion of energy on the track and in the stands. What a leg by Christian Coleman, pulling away from the Jamaicans. It wasn't a perfect changeover. I tell you what, Jerome Blake is running well on that second leg. Really good changeover again by the Canadians. The Jamaicans are miles down at the moment. Hall to Bracy. And the Canadians are holding them. De Grasse. Can he do it? Yes, he can. Gold to Canada. And after what a difficult season it's been for de Grasse, he tastes gold in the 4x1, just as he did over the 200 metres last year in Tokyo. It was not to be the double for the Americans. Coleman got out brilliantly for them at the beginning, but a series of crisp changeovers for the Canadians ensure it is a North American nation on top of the podium. But it's not the hosts, it's their northerly neighbours. And somehow, after an awful year of injury and illness with COVID, de Grasse comes out on top for Canada once more. What a way to finish for them. The Americans were closing, but de Grasse had the composure and the experience to see them home.
I would have to call that an upset.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. When you've got the likes of Coleman and Lyles and Bracy on the anchor leg, and there have been question marks over de Grasse in terms of his fitness and his form. Yes, that is a great, great result for the Canadians. As I said, gold for the North Americans, but nobody was expecting it to be your near neighbours.
It's great to be here in the United States. It's close to home, you know, family, friends, you know, supporters, fans, everybody can watch. So even though we're in the U.S., we had a lot of support from the Canadian fans here in the stadium. So it was a great feeling, you know, just doing it. It's almost like a home games for us.
Obviously, it's a team effort, but once you three guys have had the first changes, you've got to hand it over to your final runner and just watch and wait. What was it like for you three, because it was so tight?
I mean, I lost my voice. I was just screaming the entire time I passed it to him, because I knew once we had a clean exchange that we were in really good position. I knew what he was going to do if I give him a good pass. We have good spacing. And then once they got through clean, I'm like, okay, we're in this. And then when André got it with the lead, I'm like, oh, there's no way he's getting caught. There's no way. I trust my guys, and they came through. And it was a special feeling.
There was no doubt. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was like Aaron said, I was hoping I wasn't going to get caught, because I started tightening up a little bit, try to relax. But, once these guys did the work, you know, for me, I just had to, you know, make sure I stayed relaxed and, you know, got the baton from Brendan and, you know, just bring it home for them. So, you know, it's a great feeling. You know, we talked about this moment, you know, so many times of winning a gold medal. So it feels good to get it done today, and we're hoping for more in the future.
Canada take the gold, USA silver, Great Britain and Northern Ireland the bronze. The Jamaicans this time finish fourth. Well, T.T. Terry anchored the women home in the 4x1. She managed to withstand the fast-finishing Sharika Jackson, the fastest 200-metre runner in the world this year. A fantastic team performance by the Americans. The roof nearly came off. Well, it would have done if there'd been one here. They're cleanly away, and what a roar from the crowd. The United States are in three, but the big guns are waiting for the baton down the back straight. Oh, it's a terrible changeover, by the way, from Nelson to Thompson Herra. I hope they were within the changeover line. Steiner running well round that bend. And now comes Prandini. Prandini is ahead. Oh, Great Britain, it looks like she's pulled her hamstring, Dina Asher-Smith. The Americans are up. Sharika Jackson's got a lot of closing to do here. Listen to the crowd. T.T. Terry. Can she hold off Jackson? Yes, she can. The Americans take it from Jamaica. And the Germans, with disbelief, look like they may have come through for third. Something happened to Dina Asher-Smith round that second bend, so the Britons were out of it. There was a really late changeover between Nelson and Thompson Herra down the back straight. And T.T. Terry ignites this crowd. It's all well and good having the four best individuals, but it has to work collectively as a team, and it did for the United States. It was a brilliant leg by Steiner down the back straight. Prandini ran a wonderful bend, and despite the fact that Sharika Jackson was closing, T.T. Terry had the magic ingredients to hold off the fast-finishing Jamaican and send this US crowd into raptures.
Well, outside of Jenna Prandini, this is a very young United States team. Tanisha Terry anchoring it. Abby Steiner, I think the fans were really excited to see her on this 4x1 squad. We could see her on the 4x4 squad as well. Melissa Jefferson getting things started. All of these athletes, though, remember, lots of relay coverage while in college. Tons of experience there, running relays almost every single weekend for four consecutive seasons while in college. Tanisha Terry certainly from USC, but that was a bad changeover between Kemba Nelson and Elaine Thompson-Hara from Jamaica.
Gail Devers, I'm not quite sure where you're physically positioned down there, but is it as noisy where you are as it is up here? The crowd are going berserk.
I am. Very noisy where I am. This has been electrifying. You watch a team that you talk about on relays. The main thing on a relay is to get the stick around. And the U.S. has said that they've been working on their handoffs, and you saw that. Anything can happen. On paper, there's one thing, but it's about four people working together as one. And you saw the United States get the baton around the track, everybody working very well, and T.T. Terry being able to hold off the close of Sharika Jackson was phenomenal.
The Americans showed incredible heart there against a lineup of unprecedented quality. Kemba Nelson's a great, great runner for Jamaica. You go Thompson-Hara, the four-time individual Olympic champion down the back straight. Fraser Price, the most decorated 100-meter runner, male or female, in history, round that second bend. And the fastest living woman on earth, Sharika Jackson, on the anchor leg, who stormed to the 200 title. And yet, through great teamwork, your team came out on top.
That was one of those races where I think a lot of people might have lost a lot of money on, because you were just betting on the favorite. Just looking at that lineup, that Jamaican lineup, here you see this German team so thrilled to be on the podium. But wow, who was going to bet against the Jamaicans with that kind of a lineup? But it just goes to show you the 4x100 meters is about teamwork. You know, and the U.S. said that they'd been having a lot of team training practices and really, really getting the squad together for these championships.
We're very happy, you know. We don't really have the words to describe what happened, you know. It just feels great to do what we did on U.S. soil and to be able to walk away with the gold medal. Coming into here, we knew we had to have the chemistry. We had to move the batons through the exchanges. You know, you can have the fastest four legs, but if you don't move the baton around the track, then what are you doing? So we knew we had to focus on ourselves and trust one another.
The USA take glory. They deny an incredible quartet from Jamaica, yet another gold. And the Germans were into raptures, taking the bronze, denying Nigeria, despite the fact that they produced an African record in fourth. Gudaf Sege executed marvellous tactics in the 5,000-metre final. She had the speed and the awareness to turn a 1,500-metre silver into a gold over 12 and a half laps, and it meant the world to her and her team. It's been one of the cagiest races over 12 and a half laps I can ever remember, but now it's about to explode into life. They take the bell in the final of the women's 5,000 metres. Gudaf Sege leads. She got a silver in the 1,500. In second place, Sifan Hassan. She's the Olympic champion. What a fantastic victory it would be for her. She's done virtually nothing all season, but they ran the early laps so slowly, it's played into the sprinter's hands. Beatrice Chebet, the world junior cross-country champion, trying to come up on the outside of Sege. And Sege has drifted towards the outside of lane one, and that's allowed Sifan Hassan to come through on the inside. They're running so close together, these three. It's a miracle they haven't tripped each other up. Hassan has got the inside line, but has she got the speed? It's been a difficult season for the Dutch woman. Sege's coming past her. silver in the 1500. Little by little, Segei's pulling away. A great effort by Chebet, the cross-country specialist. But Gudaf Segei takes the 5,000-metre title. Chebet takes the silver. And it's a bronze for Dawit Seyoum. It was just too slow for the likes of Lattès and Bet-Guidé to live with the explosive pace at the end. It was so tense and so tactical. And despite her mistake of letting Sifan Hassan come through on the inside with 200 to go, Gudaf Segei was not to be denied the title. Silver in the 15, but it's all gold tonight over the 5. And Segei is hoisted aloft by her friends and teammates. Fantastic for Gudaf Segei. She tastes the top spot on the podium on a memorable, memorable evening.
That was really something, Rob, and I wasn't 100% sure what we were watching. So many different moves. That race absolutely had it all. Lead changes. And just when you thought with a lap to go, is Sifan Hassan going to come back and ruin this all, spoil it all for the Ethiopians? But it was just too much. You said the 1,500-meter runners were going to make their move with a lap to go, and they certainly did. Segei certainly has shown people what she's capable in the 1,500-meter. In the 1500 meters, but Hassan definitely made a run of it. But talk about the teamwork throughout the entire race by the Ethiopians. The Kenyans could never really quite get together and work together as a group, but it was the Ethiopians controlling that pace and that entire race until the end when it was a free-for-all sprint.
And I did wonder at one stage whether they'd made a mistake to let Hassan through on the inside. Dawit Seyoum, a wonderful bronze from her. Guidé was fifth in the end. Kipkemboi was fourth. Great, great silver for Beatrice Chebet. She came up onto Gudaf Segei's shoulder, but just didn't quite have the raw pace down the final 50. And that was almost an inevitability because they let the early pace drift. But the Ethiopians are already singing and dancing. It's been an excellent championship for them. It really has. So Guidé took the 10 and Segei's taken the 5. She'll be over the moon with that. It was a brilliant effort from Sifan Hassan because she has had a horrible season that started really late. She only registered her first finish over the 5,000 earlier in July. So she got herself in the right position. But unlike Doha and unlike Tokyo, when she came round the final bend on the inside, she just didn't quite have the speed and the stamina in her legs to hang on for a medal. But you're quite right. I mean, it was as if they were out for a Sunday morning jog in the early stages.
Well, it's so unusual, though, to see teammates like that getting up front, talking to each other. But it looked like they had a plan. You see, Guidé would just block Chebet. She would just surge ahead, get in the front, and then she would slow things down.
Chebet did really well to respond to the extent to which she did, the former world junior champion and world cross-country champion. But Gudaf Segei savoured every single second of that moment. So often it hasn't been her turn to finish on top spot, but she got it right tactically, and she at last collects the global gold she's striven towards for years. The 800 on paper was wide open. The majestic Marco Arop of Canada began to tire, and that was when Emmanuel Correa roared to the world title. The Olympic champion reminding us of all his class despite an average season arriving here in Eugene. The Olympic champion tastes gold once more. They take the bell. One of these men is 50 seconds away from a place in history. No Canadians ever won this title. Arop is majestic out front. He's the Pan American champion. Tual is a little bit boxed on the inside in second place. Kisase and Correa trying to come wide for Kenya. Kisase in second, and Correa is now coming. Has the Olympic champion fooled us all? No form to speak of all season. Arop's driving for the line. He'd love to be the first Canadian to win this, but Emmanuel Correa is coming away. He's pushing, he's driving. The lactic acid is taking hold, but the Olympic champion becomes the world champion. And what a second place for Tejati. The Algerian came through for silver. But Emmanuel Correa, despite not breaking 1:45 all season, all of a sudden discovers the turn of speed that took him to the title in Tokyo. And it has swept all before him here in Eugene. 143.71. And Marco Ayrault does become the first Canadian medalist in this event for 15 years. The majestic Canadian held on brilliantly for the bronze. But Korea takes gold for Kenya, the Olympic champion, adding to his rich list of titles. That was a magnificent run from him. Truly magnificent. At the crucial point of the season, he found his form.
Well, they came through in a high 51, but it was Marco Ayrault who said, I'm going to push that third 200, really make everybody hurt. And we talk about that that quote before you come out here. You know, if you're going to beat me, you're going to have to hurt. And he made everybody hurt. He really made that race. And so I think down the home stretch, he became my sentimental favorite just to get a medal, because he was the guy out front and pushing and doing all the work. But career just measured that absolutely perfectly, and what a time to run a season best.
Sajati ran really well for the silver. He finishes so fast. And do you know what? If Korea hadn't been quite as strong as he was, I think he probably would have taken the gold. But there was real power in those legs over the last 20 or 25. And remember, he was sixth in the 400 final in 2019. He has run 44.2. He's not in that kind of shape this year. And he's not in 142.05 kind of shape that took him to sixth on the all-time list again three or four seasons ago. But that was a really, really fine run from Korea. And what about that for Marco Ayrault? That's a huge, huge moment for the Canadian middle distance community. He bowed out in the semis in Tokyo. And what I loved about that, he was bold. As you said, Dan, he went to the front at the bell and said, OK, look, I'm going to be the one to dictate the rhythm. I think I can hang on for a medal. If three of you want to come past me, I'm going to make you work. And in the end, only two did, and he gets his moment on the podium.
You were the gold medalist in the men's 800. I mean, how do you feel? A strong kick in the very end. Just tell me how you feel about your performance.
yeah, I'm so happy. You know, I'm grateful, obvious. The race was tough. You saw it, right? And yeah, I am a world champion right now.
How does that feel to be the world champion?
That's a great achievement. You know, everyone is working for it. Everyone is wishing and hoping to be a world champion and an Olympic champion. And now that I've got it, I appreciate it. Thank God for all of this. Yeah.
Emmanuel Carrier strikes at the perfect time this season. A wonderful performance. A second successive global crown after his Tokyo title. Sajati richly deserves the silver, and Ayrault, a moment of history for the Canadians with the bronze. Pedro Pichardo has a real strut when he's in full flow, and he loves to do the damage in the first round. He did in the triple jump final. Oh, that's huge. Does he get the green flag? It was very close. It was very close, and he does. That might well have been the gold medal winning jump in the first round. That was big, and he knows it. Well, this is going to be huge. 17.95, the best jump in the world this year. And Pichardo has one hand on the gold medal 5 minutes after the competition started. 17 metres, 95, and that was to be good enough for the gold. He was never headed. Another Olympic champion picking up world gold. And the crowd salute a man who adds another gold to his growing collection. Four times, by the way, four times he's finished second in the worlds, indoors and out. But with 17.95 and 17.92 in the second round, he was in a class of his own. The gold goes to Pichardo of Portugal. When you put out a big jump like that in the first round, the rest of the field are under such colossal pressure.
Well, and it's hard to follow it up yourself. You know, you put one out there in the first round like that, and it's just like absolutely amazing. It's like, well, what, you know, every time you step up there, you have great confidence, but it's like, wow, you know, I've really got to jump even farther now myself. But he does a lot of scoreboard watching as well. It's easy to sit back and take a look and see what the other competitors are doing, but I love the fact that he stepped up there. Boom, 17.51, which is the third farthest jump in the competition for his final one.
Well, any of his first three jumps would have won him the competition. 1795, 1792, 1757. Unmatched tonight. Pichardo, the Olympic champion, becomes the world champion. Anderson Peters was hoping for history for Grenada, trying to become only the second man to successfully defend the javelin title. Not one, not two, but three throws over 90 metres. It was absolutely staggering, and he made it look easy. What a night in the stadium.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw another 90-metre throw right here.
Well, what an incredible backdrop. The whole stadium roaring him on. The gold's in the bag. He joins Zalesny as the only two men to go back-to-back. And that's another throw over 90. That is ridiculous from Anderson Peters. He's making that monumental mark of 90 metres look like a training session. 90-21 in the first, 90-46 in the second. And he's gone over 90 again. That is absolutely incredible. It's the perfect finish. And he's gone 90-54, his best throw of the competition. He was quite simply in a class of his own. 90-54, he takes the gold. Brilliant stuff by Peters.
I think a bit of a surprise in 2019 that he would come away with that title, especially with guys like Vetter in the competition. But this year, he proved that he belonged there. Not only belonged there, just he dominated.
And how good for a sport like javelin. For so long, we're used to the might and the excellence of the Eastern European nations. That's still represented with the Czech Republic. But you've got a gold to a Caribbean islander and a silver to an Indian. It's great that this event is going truly global. And that's the magic of our sport, isn't it? That anyone, anywhere, can run, jump or throw, irrespective of background or facilities. If you're good enough, you can climb to the top.
And you think about Grenada track and field, and really, when did it start getting attention? Karani James.
Yes.
He wins a global medal, and shortly after, you know, we see athletes like Anderson Peters and Lyndon Victor.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt James has been the springboard, and how this Grenadian has seized his opportunity.
He really means a lot to me, being able to defend my world championship title. The only guy to ever do that was the great Jan Zalesny, world record holder. And getting the opportunity to defend my title in front of him means a lot to me. Getting three throws over 90 meters, that's pretty deep, so I'm really grateful for that.
Has it all turned out perhaps better than you may have ever dreamed, or did you know that this performance was within you?
Going from this season, I know I was capable of throwing 90 meters. But, you know, I had my eyes set on the championship record, which is 92-80, set by the great Jan Zalesny, of course. But unfortunately, conditions didn't provide that.
So overall emotions, you're going home with a gold medal.
I'm really grateful. And I just got to take a moment to let it sit in before I really, really feel how important this is.
So that's it. Dan O'Brien. It's been absolutely brilliant, and we go again with the big men. And what an opportunity this becomes now in the decathlon with no Damian Warner.
Well, as an athlete, you never hope for anybody to get injured. But, you know, I know when I didn't make the team in 1992, there were some guys licking their chops and looking at an opportunity that would open up another medal position. So for the competitors, they're excited because there's a place on the podium that's available. But as a fan, you really miss that the best decathlete in the world is not going to be there.
Well, the decathletes will be back after we've had the 35K race walk, the men's 5,000 final. That'll be an absolute cracker. Women's 800. Can Arthing Mo add the world title to her Olympic crown? There'll be all sorts of drama in the women's 100-metre hurdles. And we'll finish off after the decathlon with the two 4x4 relays. We'll get to do it all again tomorrow, but tomorrow really will be it. The curtain will come down on Eugene. Do you think this has been mission accomplished from a US track and field perspective in terms of perhaps giving a platform to these athletes and hoping that the next generation of American track and field fans are hooked into our sport for many years to come?
You know, I think it is. I definitely think it is. And I say that because I've met people here from all over the country, from as far east as Connecticut. I met people, you know, came up from California, Canadians. And certainly we had the Jamaicans here in force. And I'm pleased with it. I'm proud of what the University of Oregon, Tracktown USA, and the World Athletics was able to do here at this stadium.
And I just think, taking off an American hat, and I do think it's important, track and field continues to expand here. I just think it's been nice for these great dedicated athletes to perform in front of a crowd again, because Tokyo gave us 90% of a major championship with the Olympic Games, but there was no one there, and they deserve to have a great crowd, and a great crowd is exactly what they've had each and every day here at Hayward Field.
Thanks for listening to the World Athletics Podcast. To enjoy even more coverage, you can go ahead and search World Athletics, it's all one word, on all of your favorite social platforms. Or go ahead and head to our website at worldathletics.org. See you there.